Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Acts 4 and 23 states, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is." You see, the first thing they did here is they appealed to the divine creator, the God that pulled the stars out of the palm of his hand, the God that drew mountain ranges with the pencil of his own imagination, the God that uttered a universe into being and still whispers peace into the souls of his people and all that in them is. He created the stage on which adversaries could walk. They were pieces of his puzzle, pawns on his chessboard, instruments to play his song, tools to build his will. All that in them is. That's present tense, right now. What you face today, at this very moment, seconds of suffering, minutes of misery, hours of agony, days of discouragement. But the clock belongs to the Master. It's his timing, in his world, in his creation. You see, my friend, you're not talking to the delegated one, or the authority down the line, or someone on the manufacturing line or in the factory assembling the parts. You're talking to the inventor, the owner, the originator. Not second in command, the only in command. Not a manager or a maintenance man who just keeps the stuff in order. He builds the order. He designed the plan. He drew up the blueprints and then opened his mouth and let his word do the work. That's who you're praying to. That's who you're appealing to today. Sometimes you feel like you're banging your head against the wall, but you're reaching out to a God. You're reaching out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's the one who listens to your appeals. That's the one who hears the heartbeat of those in the harvest. He's a God who hears, even though we live in a secular society of atheistic beliefs that God is deaf because God doesn't exist. And yet, even in their own convincing that he doesn't exist, they call out to him in a time of trauma or tragedy. It is an instinctive thing. It is something that is from the core of a man's being, because a man's heart is going to pan after God. He's going to search for God. He wants something that is beyond the ordinary. He wants something that is beyond the curse of the average. He wants something that is beyond the doldrums of society and those things that he has become monotonously used to. He's looking for something that is different. And my friend, the mighty God that you pray to is a God that listens. And that's why in this particular setting, they appealed to the divine creator. Acts 4 and 25, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." You see, the second thing they did is they apprised the earthly kingdoms. They understood that there was a Gentile empowerment. And when you look into the scripture, you know that there's Babylonian empires and there's Grecian empires, Persian empires, and then the Roman Empire, and that which we wait for in the last days with the surgence of the Antichrist and a revived Roman Empire in the times of the Gentiles. And yet, even in the times of the Gentiles, they are recognizing that they serve a God that can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, that he is not trapped by earthly empires, that he is not bossed around by secular tyrants, that he is not limited by those in human governments. No, the God of gods is the governor of all, the king above all. His dominion reigns above all. This is why when we go to prayer, one of the prayers that we pray that God gave us a template for was, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's the divine prerogative. So even as we are apprising the earthly kingdoms, we are also going to apply the heavenly counsel. Because in Acts 4 and 28, the Bible said, "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." This is not that which is dependent upon the vote of a democracy. It is that which is upon the counsel of his own will. And so here these disciples, they are applying a heavenly counsel as they apprise the earthly kingdoms, as they look at the Gentile powers, as they understand the Roman dominance of the world. And yet that was in the physical. There was a spiritual place. There was a spiritual dominion. There was a spiritual realm in which they could slip into, they could walk into. It was bridged by the power of prayer. Verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." The next thing they did is they apprehended the cause beyond the kingdoms of this world, beyond the limitations of flesh and human reasoning, beyond the imprisoning powers of human authorities and governments that wanted to chain them to some kind of opinion or to some kind of majority thought. They apprehended the cause. They realized there was something beyond this world, and they had to be obedient to the word of God, and they knew that God could stretch forth his hand despite all of the opposition. God would bring an anointing. God would flow through the oil of their anointing. He would stretch forth the hand to heal. There would be signs and wonders done in the name of Jesus. And these would be signs of authenticity. These would be signs that would confirm the Acts 2:38 experience and the gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Unlike what 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us in the last days, that this Antichrist spirit that's going to rise up, this unfolding of a mystery of iniquity that's been around since the beginning of time, and as it comes to fruition and to a filthy fulfillment in the last days, he's going to come with lying signs and wonders. He has to bring in the counterfeit. He's got to show up with something that is an illusion, some treacherous magic trick that causes people to have such a visual persuasion that he's got power to rule. But God doesn't need that. His evidence is not just seen in the physical realm, but it is felt in the spiritual realm. It empowers the mind. It makes us a whole being. It causes us to have love like we've never had it. Causes us to see the light in a dimension that we have only been blinded to, that we've only stumbled around in the darkness of our own miseries. But in the mercies of God, we see those things that are absolutely impossible, but they are made possible by this loving God, by this truth in a Savior named Jesus Christ. And so they are apprehending this cause, and they are making up their minds that no matter what they have to face, no matter the opposition that they have to endure, no matter how many adversaries outnumber them, they're going to stand on the platform and the stage of this opportunity to preach the name of Jesus. And then we have verse 31, where the Bible said, "When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." So the last thing we see here in this context is that God empowered their congregation. It's where they were assembled, not scattered in disunity, not divided with personal interests, not disgruntled with complaints and competitions, not dissentious with jealousies and verbal jabs, not fragmented by striving philosophies. They were assembled, gathered together, one body with winning boldness, one body with the same fire that burned. And so, my friend, today I encourage you to pray till the heavens drop with rain. Pray till the ground yields the souls of 1,000 prisons. Pray till every devil is run out of town. Pray till the darkness burns in the light. Pray till the fires of the Holy Ghost consumes every cage, empowers every captive, and leads the broken out of every cave. Pray till the atheist bends his knees. Pray till every terrorist lays down his false Bible, his malicious bombs, and silences his audacious blasphemy. Oh, my friend, can you go back to that moment in that New Testament setting where that group came together? The room was small. The huddled group was desperate. The blinding sun invaded the windows. Hungry feet paced. Desiring souls hummed. Stored prayers broke forth. Geysers of intercession. Explosions of determination. Burning embers of volcanic indignation. They would not remain silent in the storm. They refused to acquiesce to threats and human thrones. Somebody burst forth in tongues. Another bowed and rocked back and forth. Others leaned against the earthen walls. No matter the position, they all prayed. No matter the posture, they all prayed. No matter the problems, they all prayed. And in that moment, passivity dissolved. Faint-heartedness vanished. Boldness blazed. Fear took a back seat to the driving travail. It got louder. The intensity flamed. The words echoed down the street. Sinners nearby heard it. Sanhedrin members would eventually get the report. This Jesus name bunch is back at it again, praying again, preaching that name again. Their red faces of anger couldn't stop it. Their verbal threats and physical harm couldn't silence it. Their political motives and society concerns did not compromise them. They loudly proclaimed it. They amplified their souls from the hot furnaces of prayer, and when their mouths opened, hot coals of truth lit the world on fire. So, my friend, when you feel like Samson, who has lost all of his strength, deception had drained him, Delilah had deceived him, hope seemingly left him weak and vulnerable, bound by enemies, mistreated by those who hated him, pushed around for sport, mocked by pagans, scarred by failure, shaven in shame and walking in circles of indignity at the grinding mill, fans deliriously rabid, the surroundings filled with worship to other gods. But Samson still prayed one last time, and with one more prayer, he brought down the house. With one prayer, he defeated more in death than in all of his life. One more prayer, friend, can bring down a stronghold that Satan has built for a lifetime. Blocks of bitterness crumble. Pray on, because walls of fear fall. So pray on. High towers of shame collapse. So pray on. Demonic agendas are destroyed, and so, my friend, pray on. We have in the scripture the Jehovah compounds, some of which are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, and this name was revealed to Abraham when God provided a ram as a substitute for Isaac on Mount Moriah in Genesis 22 and 14. And so, my friend, today, when it feels like all of the fields are withered and dried up and barren, when it feels like everything that you've put your hopes in has vacated the premises, when it feels like the cupboards are empty and there's nothing in the storehouse, you pray on, because you have a God that provides. Then there is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. This name was revealed to the Israelites when God healed the bitter waters of Marah and promised to heal them from all the diseases if they obeyed him. That's in Exodus 15 and 26. And so, my friend, you may feel today that your life is contaminated with compromise. Maybe you feel the decomposure of faith that has died in you, or hopes that have been crushed and left in a graveyard of bad dreams and mishapped hopes. But I tell you today, there is a God that heals. There's a God that with the power of the cross, just like Moses took that bush in the Old Testament, that tree that was revealed to him, and put it in those waters until they were decontaminated and the poison was gone and there was nothing but purity and sweetness. My friend, God can change the bitterness of your life and bring the sweet flavor of grace, because He is the Lord that heals. He can heal physically today. He can heal you emotionally and mentally. He can heal you from a bitter past. He can heal you from a present conflict. He is Jehovah Rapha. Then there is Jehovah Nissi. This is the Lord our banner. This name was revealed to Moses when God gave Israel victory over the Amalekites at Rephidim. This was in Exodus 17 and 15. My friend, today the Lord is your victor. He is your banner. He is the flag that you raise. He is the standard that you live by. He is the name that you call upon when you're in trouble, because the Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower that the righteous run into and are safe. My friend, you are safe today from the bitter spoils of the enemy. You are safe today from the harm of all of the hellish attacks that would come against you, because you have Jehovah Nissi. You have the Lord as your banner, and that banner flies in victory. That banner is going to bring the ultimate victory someday, when we are changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we break the bonds of this old world and we go soaring faster than the speed of light to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. And then we have Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. This name was revealed to Gideon when God assured him of his presence and peace in the face of the Midianite threat in Judges 6 and 24. Now think about it. This was before the victory even came, but God is giving him peace that whatever he's going to face in the future, God is going to give him the fruits of victory. God is going to give him the overcoming power. God is going to give him the strategy to defeat the impossible odds. That's the God that gives you peace today, friend, that passes all understanding. It goes beyond human reasoning. It goes beyond human calculation. It goes beyond humanly derived formulas for success or explanations for failure. You see, it's a peace that passes the comprehension of even the most intelligent among us. And that's a great peace to have when you're facing things that you don't know what you're going to do about. But you have Jehovah Shalom. So my friend, pray on with the Jehovah that provides. Pray on with a God who heals. Pray on with a Lord who gives you a banner of victory. Pray on with a God that gives you a peace that passes understanding. And then there is Jehovah Raha. That is the Lord our shepherd. This was the name that was used by David to express his trust and confidence in God's guidance and care in Psalm 23 and 1, when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." My friend, you're going to make it through the situations that you're facing right now. You're going to get beyond this trial. You're going to be triumphant over everything that seems to be dragging you down, pulling you down, leaving you for dead, making you feel like you're hopeless or full of shame, or that you're worthless, that you're of no value to the kingdom of God. But the Lord is your shepherd, because he cares about his sheep. You're in the flock of his divine purpose. He opens doors and he sets tables and he brings you to feasts and he brings you to gatherings of hope, because you're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. And then there is Jehovah Tsidkenu. This is the Lord our righteousness. This name was used by Jeremiah to prophesy the coming of the righteous branch of David, the Messiah, who would reign as king and save his people in Jeremiah 23 and 6. Oh, think about it, friend. He is the Lord our righteousness. When it seems like I can't get the answers to the complicated situations of life, he is always right and he's always right there. When I don't know how to overcome certain things, or maybe we give in to the certain flares of temptation or the momentary setbacks or the things that knock us down, but we're able to say with the spirit of Micah, rejoice not against us. When we fall, we shall arise, because the Lord is our Sidkenu. He is our righteousness. He is the branch of deliverance. He is that origin of hope. He is that beginning of great triumph and victory. My friend, when you think about how Jesus was a root out of dry ground, how he came among his own and his own received him not, how at the end of a 3.5-year earthly ministry that saw lepers be cleansed and blinded eyes open and crowds amass around him with great hunger for the words that he spoke and the miracles that he worked. Yet in the end, he died a lonely death of suffering on a cross, because that's what gave him a kingdom of righteousness. So we live in a world of confusion. We live in a world of domestic chaos. We live in a world of international terror and uncertainty. A lot of things that are taking place, pieces that are moving around, nations that are in a struggle for preeminence, some that are trying to expand their empire like Russia and China, and obviously what we're seeing with the terrorism of Hamas and Hezbollah and some of the other extremist Muslim organizations in the world, you know, it can be very discouraging. It can be very disorienting. But then we have a church that knows how to get on its knees, a church that knows how to intercede. We have a church that knows how to pray. And so in the midst of all of the chaos and confusion, we must pray on. In the book of Numbers, there was a time when fiery serpents attacked Israel in the wilderness. Snakes from hell slithered into the camp. Terrifying, gaping mouths, exposed, venom-laced fangs. They latched onto arms and legs. They struck with lightning speed. Strong men and little children screamed. Bodies dropped. Death abounded. Graveyards grew. Despair enveloped the people. But Moses prayed, and God gave them a formula for salvation, a brazen serpent. But it had to be looked upon. It was a visual hope. It was a stunning sight. But you couldn't just hear about it, friend. You had to see it for yourself. And the cross isn't just something that you can hear about. You have to see it for yourself. You have to witness it for yourself. You have to experience it for yourself. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 40:3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, David said, and fear and shall trust in the Lord. In other words, David was saying, when they see how God has delivered me out of the muck and the mire, out of the pit of my circumstances, how he has delivered me from my opposers and set me free from the adversaries that want to kill me, he says they're going to see it and they're going to trust God for themselves. That's like saying, hey, if God can do it for you, he can do it for me. And then John 3:14, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. My friend, you can see it and you can pray it. It is then that the snakes of hell disappear. So pray on. It is then that healing comes for the poison of shame. So pray on. It is then that those snake bitten by the worst things in the world get a better outcome. So my friend, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter the setback, no matter the sickness, you pray on. It's my prayer today that for somebody that might be living in a religious desert, for somebody who is thirsty for something more than just the dead protocols that you've lived by or the mere liturgical exercises that you've gone through, but there's a hunger in you for more. There's a thirst in you for more. I want you to know that Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was speaking of a spiritual experience that every true believer would have because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, today, if you want more of the promises of God, pray on. If you want more of the peace of God today, pray on in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.